Previously on Barefoot Boys, Mohan Bagan were having some teething troubles. A lot of passion for the sport, a lot of raw talent, but no real experience and no drive. No doubt they would have still reached stardom, but the road would have been harder and longer if not for one man. Sailendranath Bose, the no-nonsense guy. From Luminary, this is Barefoot Boys, a podcast about an Indian football team that went toe-to-toe with the British and against all odds emerged as a national symbol. A symbol that told a country fighting for independence, we can win. I'm Konkona Sen Sharma.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sailendranath, or Sailen Bose, took over the running of the club in the early 1900s from his brother, Jyotindranath Bose, who was the general secretary. While founder Bhupen Basu was still very much a presence, President Sailen Bose soon became the key decision-maker of the club. Unlike his predecessors, Sailen Bose didn't think the Mohan Bagan team should have the college-only, education-first approach.
Sailen Bose's first impression about the players was, who are these people? Who are these people walking into the field after such a heavy lunch, just jogging with the ball?
This is Shantanu Basu, great-grandson of Bhupen Basu.
He said, this can't go on. If we really need to equal the British, we have to fight against the British equally. We have to show them that we can fight as well as they can. Skill is secondary, but to play physically hard for 50 minutes, that's what will make the difference.
To really understand Sailen Bose's philosophy and approach, you have to know his background. His was a personality molded on the battlefield, literally. Partho Basu, Bhupen Basu's great-grandnephew, added to his cousin's account.
Subedar Major Sailen Bose, another granduncle of mine, was the highest-ranked Indian officer of the 49th Bengal Regiment. He was supposed to have been wounded in battle, and according to my mother, spent bullet casings were recovered from his body during his cremation.
Sailen Bose led a regiment composed of fellow Bengalis, as well as people from Rajasthan, the Sikhs of Punjab and other northern parts of the country. This was a proper dilemma for the British. There were too many Indian soldiers there to be led by a white officer. So the British Army found a way out. They made Sailen Bose a Subedar Major. Sailen Bose could execute the same responsibilities as a full major without ruffling the feathers of British majors. Pragmatic and racist all at once. Having served side by side with the British, Sailen Bose understood there wasn't a lot of difference between the Indians and their white masters. Same guns, same battles, same color of blood. This was the point Sailen Bose wanted to impress upon young Indians after his retirement. He wanted all Indians to understand that they were on par with the British. One of the first things he noticed at Bagan was that his barefooted players struggled for grip, especially on rainy days, a common enough occurrence in Calcutta. When it rained, the players' feet slipped, their shoulders drooped, and their fighting spirit dimmed. Sailen Bose, using his military experience, found a solution to improve his footballers. Here's Shantanu Basu again.
There used to be a huge playing ground. On one side, it ended in an upward slope. So, Shailen Basu greeted all the players on that field and asked them to run up the slope. But there was a catch. First, there were hose pipes that shot water down the slope, making the mud slushy and making the upward journey much more difficult. And then, Shailen Bose gathered some old friends of his from his army days. He gave them the same kind of boots that the British wore while playing and told them to wear those boots and kick the hell out of the Mohun Bagan players as they tried to climb up the slope.
Sounds brutal, doesn't it? But this innovative coaching technique worked like a charm. It lanced through the fear that the Bagan players had internalized.
Boot nahi, kono byapar noy. Brishti, kono byapar noy. Dom, mathe dekha hobe.
No boots, no problem. Rain, no problem. Stamina, try matching us. Subedar Major Sailen Bose's organizational ability, coupled with his solution-oriented approach, managed to uproot something that had been drilled into Mohun Bagan. And indeed all Indian hearts for generations, that the British were better than them. Because it wasn't just Mohun Bagan who were growing. Mohammedan Sporting, founded in 1891 by Nawab Aminul Islam, the ex-Inspector General of Bengal Presidency, Abdul Ghani of Malda and Maulvi Muhammad Yashin of Bordhaman won the coveted Kuch Bihar Cup multiple times, signalling the growth of a Muslim community that didn't want to be in the shadows of the Bengal Hindus.
In Kolkata Football, which is one of the first books written on the history of Indian football, Rakhal Bhattacharya states that in initial years, Mohammedan SC didn't have a big support base.
Here's journalist and historian Shomnath Sengupta on Mohammedan's rise.
Muslim community lent more support to Muslim Institute, while Mohammedan struggled due to lack of funds and members. It was only from the 1920s that Mohammedan started their rise to the top rung of Indian football.
Dr. Shoguto Bhaduri, JNU professor and historian, has a different and somewhat impassioned view.
A Mohammedan Sporting Club being the first Indian team, therefore, to have won the Calcutta Football League, just like Mohun Bagan was the first Indian team to have won the IFA Shield. This particular equally momentous history, and which would have led to an equal nationalism, but of course it would have seen us contributory to another nationalism, which our predominantly Hindu historiography of nationalism may want to elide. But anyway, this particular background I thought was very, very important to understand the 1905 Bengal partition, because the 1905 Bengal partition, especially since we are discussing in the context of football, is not necessarily restricted to only these two narratives. That is, whether the British wanted to divide Bengal for administrative expediency, or the Hindu Bengalis thought that this was primarily to curb the resurgent nationalism in Bengal.
He goes on to talk about a third possible narrative, one that is often ignored.
There was indeed a third line also, and which points towards this intensely communally divided nature of Bengal and the intensely differential levels of progress, levels of development that were meted out to the predominantly Muslim. So clearly there is a Hindu West Bengal club, there is a Hindu East Bengal club, and of course the name East Bengal itself could have originated only after the formation of East Bengal. Because without there being an entity called East Bengal, there cannot be a football club and of course a dedicated fan formation of East Bengal and Mohammedan Sporting Club. So the point is that the three main clubs in the Calcutta circuit, Calcutta Indian football team circuit, was also primarily oriented around this particular tripartition, as it were, trifurcation of Hindu West Bengal, Hindu East Bengal, and Muslim.
This goal of nationalism and football and legacy makes me dizzy. These footballers, whether they played for Bagan or East Bengal or Mohammedan, couldn't have known their own fates, let alone the fate of a country that would become three countries within a couple of generations.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Calcutta, the capital of British India, home to Fort William, the military headquarters of the British, home to the Calcutta Mint, where the first currency note was printed, the site of the Battle of Plassey, the site of nearly every critical British office under Governor-General Warren Hastings, a city of vital importance to the British Raj. But it was also the historic home of the Bengal Gazette, Asia's first newspaper, seized by the East India Company for its provocative journalism. It was where Raja Ram Mohan Roy worked with the then Governor Lord William Bentinck to first ban the practice of sati. It was the home of progressive luminaries like Roy, like Surendranath Banerjee, like Tagore. And these voices of resistance to British rule, who persistently popped up across two centuries, scared the hell out of the British. So they, under Viceroy Lord Curzon, devised a strategy. Split Bengal into two.
From Herbert Hope Risley, Companion of the Indian Empire, Secretary to the Government of India, to the Chief Secretary to the Government of Bengal. I am directed to address you on the subject of the desirability of reducing the territorial jurisdiction of the Lieutenant Governor of Bengal, with the object of lightening the burden now imposed upon the government by the increases of population, by expansion of commercial and industrial enterprise, and the growing complexity of all branches of the administration.
The first partition. This proposed division would mean that more attention could be given to previously neglected regions like East Bengal. But the British Raj's true motive, the nationalists argued, was to divide and rule, to take away the chances of a united front in the national movement. As residents of the capital, the Calcutta Bengalis benefited from quality education under British rule. They had access to missionary schools and colleges, better opportunities for government posts, and steady recruitment to the army. The leading figures of our national movement from those days came from this background. And Lord Curzon and the British Raj knew the inherent risks of governing such a society, that they would create thinkers and leaders who would wake up to demand rights long denied them. Splitting Bengal would weaken their influence, kill the nationalist spark before it became a raging fire.
In 3 months' time, Bengal will get partitioned into two. Assam, Chittagong, Rajshahi, Hilly Tripura, and Malda will become part of a new province called East Bengal and Assam.
This was the announcement Viceroy Lord Curzon made in his official proclamation on July 19, 1905. There was now going to be a deep line running through British India. Enough is enough, the rising leaders of the nation said in unison. Divide and rule. the Indians said, as influential leaders such as Rabindranath Tagore and Surendranath Banerjee gathered the masses. These were clarion calls to the nation. Indians everywhere understood that if they allowed the partition to succeed in Bengal, it would not stop there. From Pune to Punjab, protests erupted. In Bengal, Raksha Bandhan was celebrated twice. The first was the one we all know on its designated day in August, but the second was special. Rabindranath Tagore urged people to renew their ties to one another, to push the definition of brotherhood, to make it clear to the British that even partitioned, the people were one people. That even if divided by religion, language, class and geography, Bengalis were and would remain Indians. So on October 16th, 1905, it wasn't merely Hindu sisters tying rakhis on the wrists of their Hindu brothers. It was Hindus and Muslims of all ages and genders reaching out to one another. The rakhi became the new symbol of unity. Processions and big public meetings on the streets of Calcutta continued for days on end. Out on the streets, the protests were alive with music, literature, art. Tagore's Amar Shonar Bangla, which was written for the protest, lent words to Bengal's plight. Its first few lines would become the national anthem of Bangladesh in 1971. India's national song, Vande Mataram, had a part to play too. It was a cry, a marching song, so potent and threatening that the British Raj immediately issued notice that the song was inflammatory and seditious. Singing it could land you in jail. Meanwhile, Surendranath Banerjee started a boycott movement. He urged Indians to destroy all the British manufactured goods they owned and replace them with India-made products. For the Bengalis who wept and cried Vande Mataram and Amar Shonar Bangla, the boycott and the Swadeshi movement, as it came to be called, touched a chord. Tens of thousands of people switched from foreign products to Desi alternatives. This was a full-blown anti-British wave, well beyond politics. You could see it everywhere. At textile mills, soap factories, tanneries, match factories, insurance companies and banks. The spirit of nationalism had inspired Indian businesses to be brave and innovative in making themselves heard. And it was only a matter of time before Bengalis turned away from the preaching and pedestals of political leaders. They began looking elsewhere for guidance and inspiration. P.C. Ray's groundbreaking work in chemistry and Jagadish Chandra Bose's inventions became a matter of great pride. All the achievements of that time from industries, scientists, artists, writers were heralded as first and foremost Indian accomplishments. And of course, there were the sportsmen, the footballers. Nagendra Prasad Shobha Bajar, Dukhiram Mojumdar's Aryan and Monmotho Ganguly's National Association had their own fan bases. But there came a new contender in Mohun Bagan, the Mariners. While Mohun Bagan never declared their victories or their vigour or valour on the field as calls for independence, by 1906, the Bagan team had stopped being scared of their white opponents. Shantanu Basu recollects what members of the Bagan team, goalkeeper Hiralal Mukherjee, Kanu Roy and Habul Sarkar, had once told him.
"We are still not sure how we got so confident. We were suddenly not thinking of the British as some exclusive race."
That change of mindset, whether intended for revolution or not, was an inspiration. And it was contagious. It was transmitted from players to fans to the rest of the community. It fostered the kind of unity that sports fans are all too familiar with. Like they say, an avalanche can begin with a pebble. And these guys wielded a football. Next on Barefoot Boys, we witness Mohun Bagan's slow but steady rise to prominence and get our first glimpse of Shibdas Bhaduri, the captain of the Immortal 11, the Omur Akbar. Barefoot Boys is a Luminary original podcast produced by Rainshine Entertainment, and you've been listening to me, Konkona Sen Sharma. Gaurav Vaz is our executive producer, Vivek Madan is our director and script supervisor. Our writing team was led by Vivek Madan, Vikram Shah and Archana Nathan, who wrote these episodes along with Shankhudeep Sengupta, Nevin Thomas, Arka Bhattacharya and Amar Shias. We recorded the podcast at Island City Studios with Ashyar Balsara. Sachi Rajadhaksh is our sound designer and audio producer.
and Ayan Dee mixed and mastered these episodes. Thanks to all our guests and experts for their time and valuable inputs. And a special thank you to Sidin Vadukut for his help getting this podcast off the ground. And most of all, thanks to the Omo Rakadosh, 11 men who did the impossible, who taught a country to dream and for a brief moment showed us what freedom felt like long before we were free.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.